podcast is called Okay Stupid.
Welcome to Okay Stupid, the horniest podcast in Brooklyn. Ladies?
Unhinged.
Unhinged edition.
Unhinged edition, and you don't have to be a Patreon subscriber to hear this right now. Till the end of the month.
And count your lucky chickens. That's still the truth.
Well, I always heard stars, but I like chickens better.
Count your lucky pigeons and look don't hatch them.
Look at all those stars.
How are you guys doing today?
Feels like the first day of fall. Maybe we talked about that yesterday.
To me, it feels like the first day of winter.
Right, you had a day from hell.
I did actually have a day from hell. My neck is still stuck in one position, so Gamer's I can't neck. Look to the sides.
It'll get you.
I sat for 2 hours in my broken car to avoid getting a parking ticket, and the guy never came. And then I went shopping, bought new pants, already stained them, and then when I got home, the dog had eaten a lot of chocolate protein powder, like a full bag, and so I had to make him drink hydrogen peroxide, and then he threw up for an hour, and then I cleaned up his vomit for an hour, and then I threw up from cleaning up the vomit. And now I'm here.
Damn.
But we're
nothing's gonna go wrong from here on out.
Pretty good spirits. What's the word that's like regarding?
Considering.
Regardless.
All things considered.
Yeah. All things considered.
All things regardless.
Good. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So if you guys, you guys better be in good moods too.
Right.
Well, I had a salad for lunch, third one of my life. And maybe it's placebo, but I feel like I'm fucking superhuman today.
No, dude, salads it goes into your bloodstream immediately and makes you
feel like it
happy
does.
And strong.
I feel so happy.
That's why I like salads.
Mm-hmm.
What did you put on it to make it palatable?
Well, it was a chicken Caesar. You know, we start.
Salad's
we
a salad.
Gateway drug.
We ease in. Yeah. Heavy on the dressing, please. Thank you. Yeah. Just salad, which is a great little spot.
Great little local spot.
You like discover like fast casual. You're like, they have like, have you guys heard of Chopped?
You guys would not believe it. but I like just salad because it doesn't have the pretension of sweet green, but mm-hmm. it still has fresh.
That's exactly what I don't like about it.
But yeah, so I really do feel the effects. I feel happy.
The effects.
So pleased.
It's hitting.
Dude, when I eat a salad when I haven't had one in a while, it like my body feels like it's floating. Like I light up all the way to my toes. It's like that Colby Kelly song.
It's like better it's like than an orgasm. Bubbly.
But Harry has meat marinating right now. I mean
I'm
overheard.
A guy's guy.
Yeah.
People, everybody knows this about me as I'm one of the fellas.
I didn't know that was a qualifier. That seems like fellas 2.0 to marinate meat. It's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like it's just a little bit of
wants to treat
olive
the
oil, a little salt, pepper. I have gotten better at cooking since quarantine in a way that's been
kind of cool.
Kind of like the only trending upwards thing for me is I can now cook.
I do feel like, despite that this is apartment of all men, you guys cook a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe that's an unfair stigma because I don't cook at all.
Yeah, and you're only
I made
ladies
like spaghetti for the first time last week.
No, we are the most.
Weighed way too much.
Upgrade from SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a microwave at my new place. So I'm like, it's probably the best thing that could ever happen to me because I'm learning how to use the stove.
Well, the thing about.
Next step, the oven. Sorry.
The thing about this apartment is it's a lot of guys are not like other guys. You know? A lot of, like we're in touch with our feelings.
The simp chateau.
Yeah.
No, what's it called? Sanctuary. Sanctuary. The simp chateau. You have to change it, I think.
I mean, that elevates it.
Yeah chateau is sorry, but
better. Maybe chateau Chad. Once we all get Becky girlfriends or whatever.
What's the family? It's Karen and what's the man? Bob? Karen, Bob, Chad, Becky. That's mm-hmm. your average racist American white family.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Chad's and Becky's aren't necessarily racist.
They're younger. They're woke.
Well, they're... Yeah.
Right? I don't know what a Chad is.
like the source of all incel rage is a Chad.
Oh.
It's like a muscly blonde. It's kind of Johnny Bravo-esque in his depiction.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Mm. So like my boyfriend?
Yeah, Frieza Chad, for yeah. sure. Well, and you're a Becky.
Totally.
Does that mean a hot, cool girl with a good personality?
It actually does. but it's said in a mean way.
Oh, okay.
Like they mean that that's fucked up.
Yeah, because it's too good to be true.
Yeah. Or maybe well, you're a Stacy. There's a Becky's and Stacy's, and okay, one of them is different.
What's a Stacy?
Well, they're Stacy's moms.
Right.
And those and that is what that's what we call woke parents. That's what we call really young. That's what we call Bernie supporting parents.
Stacy's moms. Wait, I want to look up Stacy Becky.
I convinced my mom to vote for Bernie.
I didn't. When I called to have the serious, like, I'm going to sit down with you and convince you, she's like, oh, mailed in my ballot yesterday.
Go, Joe.
I was like, no. I know. No, she would have forewarn, which is, you know, that's okay.
That's
not the end of the world.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. I have the two, I have Stacy and Becky here.
Okay.
I'm yeah. going to read them.
I don't actually know that. I don't know these. I was just playing along.
I would never joke about incel culture. The idea, I believe.
Red pill.
Right. Yeah. The idea, I believe, is that there's, yeah, so I'm on r/virgins versus Chad. And I'm on r/virgins versus Chad. The idea is that there's like contempt for like normal people or like well-adjusted people mm-hmm. who succeed in the dating marketplace.
People who fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people who fuck, right? Another way of saying
succeed in the dating.
Well, dude, that's what they said.
Dude, I believe it. Yeah. It's just so brutal. Removed and like
cuz the internet is bad for us. Anyway, what's up, Stacy?
And there's like contempt for like these types of people.
Yeah.
That are basic or like out of their element or like stupid and mm-hmm. all these like you know basically just villainizing like good looking popular girls
totally
essentially
because this is like kind of buy incels
by incels okay. by incels for incels
by local by incel
okay so the Stacy goddess
who picked these names I haven't met a single young person named Stacy
right. It must be like Gen X, because I feel like Gen X, when Gen Xers were 18,
yeah,
the hot girls were named Stacy.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of the age range for incels. It's interesting that like incels are mad because they can't be successful in dating and they date women. And then the women I know who are like not as successful as they want to be in dating also blame women, like blame themselves, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, no one is blaming the men.
Yeah, and you know. That's wrong. Okay,
dude,
sorry.
The best thing that could ever happen.
Was that the definition?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I was reading this, believe it or not, this incel meme is actually not that funny. So there's Becky's, there's Stacy's. Dude. Stacy's have big boobs, Becky's small boobs.
Yeah, I've seen this before. Well, yeah, the best thing that could ever happen to this podcast is if we angered the incel community.
I know.
Oh. It would really blow us up. In terms of
Becky's are like losers and Stacy's are hot. That's what I'm getting. And well, sorry, okay, who called you Becky here?
Why don't the incels date Becky's then?
Right, I know. It's like, you guys are both in Harry Potter forums, I bet. It's like during weekends, usually sits at her computer and surfs in Tumblr Harry Potter forums. It's like, okay, so that's basically the girl version. Has to ask the virgin to prom. So it's like, you're the virgin, so maybe you buck up and ask her. Only girl in the chess club. Like, this girl sounds awesome.
Yeah, wait.
And kind of like,
girl sounds
maybe
she just lives in Bushwick.
And this is the one in the beanie as opposed to kind of the female
yeah,
Chad.
Yeah, she's wearing all black. No, yeah, yeah. And this is a real burn here. No clothing store has small enough bras for her.
This girl lives in Bushwick and fucks all the time.
Yeah.
Nerdy bun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's that. But that's like, that kind of does seem like it's like, okay, this is someone who like likes the internet and like more like, you know, quiet activities. So maybe, you know, as a guy who likes the internet, Mr. Incel, you would like her.
Yeah, you
the Stacy goddess
him.
Had to take breast reduction surgery in order to see her toes. Still has the best melons in the world.
Dude.
So I'm kind of both.
Yeah. You're both.
You can be Stacy and I can
you're
be
an every woman.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Stacy just because I've got massive jugs.
Yeah, that's the only one I read. So I think automatically you're in.
Which is, yeah, definitely the most incongruous thing about me.
Yeah. No. Boobs to me don't line up with any type of personality. Mm.
To me, boobs have a whole personality of their own.
Exactly. And it's like, so you just have a supplemental personality.
Dude, okay, Caroline and I watched a horror movie over the weekend. Oh. It was like a bunch of little vignettes, like five strangers are lured into a movie theater where they watched their worst nightmares play out on screen. And one was like, this woman just got surgery and had three boobs.
Oh yeah. Her boyfriend like peer pressured her to get plastic surgery, and the plastic surgeon was like, you're going under, and she woke up and she had like three boobs and no mouth. That was her worst nightmare. And then the funniest one was this. One of them was supposed to be a man who was like
a Catholic priest.
Yeah,
right?
Catholic priest, but it was like at like a, you know, a Spanish what's it called? Monastery? Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. Mission at like a Spanish mission. And his name was Father Benedict Abuelo.
And yeah, we repeated that a lot.
Father Benedict Abuelo.
Crazy name.
It's like none of those are names.
Well, yeah, so Father Benedict, you're like, huh?
Yeah.
And then to tack Abuelo on the end of that is
right. It's like, yeah, it Father Grandpa.
Father Grandpa.
It sounds like a breakfast dish at a diner that if you like eat the whole thing, you get it for free. You get your picture on the wall.
Yes, Benedict Abuelo.
Oh my God. Okay, well, can I talk about the sex book I'm reading? I'm reading, and I kind of got turned onto it by Cobb, who sent me some worksheets from it.
Yeah, but therapist. Love you, Cass.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, bitch.
These anxiety worksheets from Cobb, and I didn't know what they're from, but I was like, I would like more educational material about sex and anxiety. And so I looked online, and I found this one that I downloaded straight to my Kindle. And it's like all about like just, it's like basically like detailed and well-researched sex education, but it's not like sex safety. It's like, the first chapter was about the development of your sexual organs and like that men and women start with the same little embryo or like male and female, mm-hmm. you know, bodies. And then they start to develop in two different directions or any spectrum like in between them, you know, like it like shoots off in one of the directions, but they start with all the same basic elements, which is, as I was just saying before this, why men have nipples, even though there's no point, is because like in the little basic version, it's like, well, that's just like something we're all going to have because then it's going to take a while later for it to develop. So you get the like kind of basic things to start with. And like then
they don't differentiate until a certain point.
Yeah, exactly. And then later the boobs and like all the little milky things start growing, but both of them get nipples. And the same thing with why women have like Squirtle when they come, because even though there's not really like a point to it. Yeah, some women squirt.
Some lucky
not
porn star us, women.
Obviously. But it's because the like little sac that makes that fluid, it's like, well, both bodies have it. So it's just, even though biological reason for it.
So yeah, it's like the female ejaculate.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. And like women get hard too. Like their little clit gets hard.
The nub.
And men get wet too. Also with the pre-cum.
Oh, whoa.
And that's
why
men pre-cum. I know. And so like when men and women get aroused, it's actually exactly the same. It's just that one feature is more highlighted because it's more conducive to like heterosexual, you know, normie sex is like, you get hard and you get wet and then you go, you know what I mean? But like there's a lot more going on that you don't talk about.
Huh. That's really interesting.
I know. I'm having so much fun reading it. So much fun that it was, I couldn't put it down.
Really?
Read it until I fell asleep, woke up, kept reading.
Okay, I have a serious question and I have a joke question.
Okay.
Joke question is, did it make you horny?
No. And you know, in an ideal world, I guess it would, but that's why I'm reading the book. Trying to remember how to get horny.
Yeah.
She keeps being like, and that's how Stacy fixed her problem. But we'll learn more about that in chapter 8. And it's like, well, actually, I'm kind of here to fix my problem. So maybe we can move that up to chapter 1.
No. And my real question is, what there's a lot of I'm not the first person to say that sex education in like kids get bad sex education.
Yeah.
What is one thing you, now that you have this robust sex education sort of chapter one style, what's one thing you wish you knew or women knew, and what's one thing you wish guys knew about sex?
Well, I would say that leads me into the other thing we're going to do, which is that in chapter two, I've read chapter one and chapter two. And chapter two is about how everybody has like a sexual accelerator system and a sexual brakes system in their body. And that like there are a bunch of things that turn you on and get you going. And there's also a bunch of things that slow you down and make you less horny. And that some people have really sensitive brakes and some people have really sensitive accelerators. And some people have both or neither. And most people are like, you know, in the middle range where like some things turn you on or some things turn you off. But it's like, it'll be things like if you're afraid that the person you're about to have sex with is going to like give you an STI or hurt you, then that would like, even if you're really turned on, the brakes maybe would override it. Hmm. And men generally have more sensitive accelerators and women generally have more sensitive brakes, which makes sense because there are more like sexual risks, I think, for women.
I feel like that's sort of biological.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the quiz you sent me, is calculating your own accelerator and brake numbers. And that's called SIS and SES, which I don't know what that stands for. Do you know? Okay, well, I think the work
sheet. Inhibitor and accelerant, maybe? Or wait.
Yep. System. E, right? Sexual.
SIS and
sexual horny.
Yeah. But yeah, but to come back to your other point, Harry, we are in the future, in coming weeks, we're going to have a kind of a sex ed lesson. We're going to bring in someone who is well-versed in the orgasm to talk about it. And then we're also going to have kind of a sex therapist on. So
yeah, to help Harry find out what he likes. Yeah. Super specifically. And maybe us by proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are all figuring it out.
Yeah, this is our year of sexual blossoming.
Exploration. First step is we should all get off our meds.
Yeah, first step, we all stop taking us. Yeah, my biggest break is my Lexapro. Yeah.
Dude, I tried to get off of it a couple months ago and the doctor was like, I'm not going to advise that until this pandemic is over.
Like, seems wise.
Good point.
But also, come on, dog. Let me.
Yeah, it's true.
No.
I only see him like once a year. And well, they don't like close.
When you go off the meds. Mm. Then they lose their money.
Yeah.
God, that's
bleak. I have never met a psychiatrist I've liked.
Me either. Like actually, my college one was good.
Really?
My college one I liked.
But I feel like you said this before, they also therapists?
No.
I did talk therapy and medication with this person.
Why?
Which is the best thing ever.
Right. It's so stupid.
Because it's like you have to be a doctor to prescribe medication. So
you have to be a doctor to be a therapist.
We're not like a counselor. I mean, like.
Right. I guess there's different kinds of therapists. There's less schooling, I think. But like a psychotherapist. Like most psychotherapists, the ones that I've had don't do meds. And it's like, you went to med school, so maybe buck up.
Oh, they did go to med school?
Some go to med school and some don't. And it's a difference in title only. But I think you can practice both ways, but it's slightly different rules.
I had a therapist who had who's a fucking doctor, couldn't prescribe me medicine, and had a parrot in the room that would interrupt me.
Would it imitate you?
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
Would it imitate you?
That would be funny.
That's some sort of like Rorschach test,
dude,
or something.
Right? Like he talks to the parrot afterwards?
Insecure.
He looks like Pee Wee Herman, dude. Yeah, this was the worst guy of my life.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He might, maybe he was.
He would like, we would be doing therapy and then he'd be like, the parrot would be like, bah, bah, and then he'd be like, 1 second. And he kind of sounded like a parrot. And he would put a blanket over
the cage. Nighttime.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a parrot at this hardware store in Williamsburg that makes a text tone. Exactly.
Which tone?
Like the one that's like, when you receive one, like the little like, whoop. Yep, that one. It's so fucking freaky, and it took me the longest determine it was coming from the parrot. And then it laughs.
Damn.
Because I'm sure people have laughed in response. So then it goes, ha, 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 ha. Parrots are kind of sick. If you're lonely out there, get a fucking parrot.
I don't know. I think parrots are twisted. Let me find the name of this book. And then do you guys want to do this quiz
that
Cobb emailed me?
Yeah, I can pull it up too.
Okay, I'll look up the name of the book because I really think everyone should read it. I'm learning so much.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't learn, just on the topic of sex ed, like, I didn't learn that. And I think actually Caroline encouraged this in college, that women can actually take Plan B as many times as they want.
I opposite. I was like, don't do that. No, then you can't get pregnant.
You were like, three times max.
Yeah.
And then I would kind of like negotiate. I mean, you save me a lot of money probably because my anxiety would make me get it every time.
But, right.
But yeah, I didn't know that till way late. And there's just like so many obvious things that I had to Google. Right. And like go to the Planned Parenthood website.
Yeah, and like that even your gynecologist is like, I don't know. Like, okay, well, what are you here for?
I really need to, two things I need to do this year. Get a credit card and see a gynecologist for the first time.
Dude.
You need to see a gynecologist. And I had my third salad in my life today.
Well, ooh, the salad stunted. I can forgive, but the gynecologist, I'll go with you to your gynecologist. I really like mine.
Okay.
She's a Mount Sinai doctor. Katrina had an amazing one.
You can
one.
Be in the room.
Okay. I'll have to pretend I'm your mom.
I get medical anxiety though. Like, I don't like going to doctors. Mm-mm. Even if it's like a checkup.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not like
and when you have to take your pants off, it's like, yeah. I don't really.
Dude, I love that. It's like getting a wax where you're like, it's so you're clinical. Desensitized. Yeah, exactly. I also feel like, okay, it's called Come As You Are.
Oh my god, it has come spelled.
The boring way.
Damn.
But
missed opportunity.
Subtitled The Surprising New Science That Will Transform Your Sex Life.
Wow. Okay.
And the front is a picture of
when did this come out?
A zipper that looks like a vagina. when did it come out? Emily Nagowski.
I don't mean to throw water on this, but I do have to say, anytime there's like language around surprising new science,
yeah,
I'm always like, we've been doing science for hella long.
Like, I totally get that.
They figured this out, but I know, you know, to sell books, you got to do that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I don't love the marketing around it, but like,
right, if it works, it works. I mean,
it's
she's you don't like so the sad. Vagina zipper.
No, I find it tacky.
Yeah, I would have picked
I don't know when it came out.
You're like, the test is like, step one to having a gorgeous wop.
Dude, Cardi B filed for divorce.
Oh my god, I saw that.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
I've never liked Offset.
No, I don't think any of her fans have. He doesn't seem to have been.
But yeah, there was a lot of jokes on the internet like, guess that wop wasn't that wah after all.
Ooh.
No, but she's filing for it.
Yeah, so it's like.
Well, oh, so like. She wasn't that turned on.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Probably not that feminist, actually, given that it came from Twitter.
I mean, we have no idea where her inhibitors or her accelerators.
That's so true.
Yeah, let's take this quiz.
Okay, yes. I'm going
to
pull it up.
And it's one of those ones where you rate it from 1 to 4, and then you get to add up your number, kind of like a quiz in Cosmopolitan.
Incredible.
Or BuzzFeed.
And so what is the quiz? What are we going to get at the end?
At the end, you're going to know whether you like if you have a sensitive or insensitive break and accelerator.
You're going to know if
this is so sick.
You're sexually doomed or normal.
And this book is full of quizzes.
I love
it. It's chock full of quizzes. We're going to learn everything we need.
That's so sick.
I'm going to be having sex, and sex after this book.
Yo, we should try to get her on the pod.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, we could reach out. Okay, so inhibitors. It starts with inhibitors and then it goes to exciters.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's exciters.
I just put that together, too. Exciters and inhibitors are the
totally,
S-I-S totally. And whatever. Okay, first one. Unless things are, quote, just right, it is difficult for me to become sexually aroused. And 0 is not at all like me. 4 is exactly like me. So that's our our rating
I'm a
system.
3.
I think I'm maybe a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Very particular. If I'm high, especially, oh god.
Yeah, it's hard for me
really
to get turned on.
I can't have high sex.
Yeah, me too. Which is hard because I'm always high, so.
Which is,
kind of figuring some things out already.
Choose between my two loves.
Yeah.
Unless things are just right, it's hard for me to get aroused.
Mm-hmm.
To become sexually aroused, yeah.
2.
Okay.
Okay.
We're all keeping score, right?
No. Yeah. But yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, here. I'll write everything down.
Oh, nice. Harry.
What did I say? 4? Oh, I thought it was out of 5, but I stand by 4.
Okay.
Okay, when I am sexually aroused, the slightest thing can turn me off. What? Yeah, I'm trying to think of like...
2. Like if I'm like about to have sex and like I get some news or there's some environment change or something, like only if it's really bad that I'm going to slow down because...
Okay, yeah. When I'm sexually aroused, the slightest thing can turn me off. I got you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll do 2 as well.
Nice.
Girlies. I am a 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. I have to trust a partner to become fully aroused. I think, yeah, I have to. 3. I have to trust
a partner. So,
which makes casual sex hard.
Here's something. Fully aroused. I can like physiologically get aroused. Like I can get an erection.
Yeah.
But I can't be like actually like emotionally excited. I think it's talking about the physiological.
I think it's everything. It's like you are fully excited and in the moment to have sex.
You're horny, I guess.
Well, but
like I can be wet in any of these situations.
Oh, so that's not, I think this is perhaps worth getting into because I can have, I can physiologically be ready to have sex and like I don't even know what the fucking word is, but like I can like have sex but not be like horny and like lusting over the action. It's more like the path of least resistance sometimes or whatever, you know.
I think that I get that because I used to be able to do that too. I'm less that way now, but I feel like that I wouldn't describe myself in that state as like super
aroused.
Like, I guess like I would, maybe the metric would be like instead of complying, the idea of complying, like 4 is complying to sex or 0 is like complying to sex. 4. The most extreme version of arousal would be like you would be initiating the sex, maybe.
Right. Okay.
Maybe we can use that.
So what was the question? It's also like you have a better, you have a more apparent indicator of if you're horny or right. not. You can just look down.
For me, it's just my heart.
Mm-hmm. So what was the question again?
Shoot, let me.
Do you want to go over any of the other ones?
No.
Okay.
Trusting a partner to become fully aroused.
4. 3.
I'm going.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had sex with someone I don't trust. Well, that's not true.
I am.
Even if it's with a partner, you cannot trust them.
That's true.
I guess I'll go 1.
Nice.
I love how we're just kind of conforming to gender stereotypes here. Okay, this is a good one. If I am worried about taking too long to become aroused or to orgasm, this can interfere with my arousal.
4.
it's easy. Like fucking pressure.
Yeah.
But it's hard to not have that.
Also, or if someone's pressuring you to have sex, that's also like not even just like pressure to come. It's like,
but yeah okay. Like, I think this especially happens when like someone's eating me out.
Totally.
And I'm like, well, you're doing the heavy lifting here. Like if it's been a while and it's not happening for me, I get don't like being in my head. Oh, you don't like it?
For that reason, I just get, it's like too emotionally intense.
And, do you like giving head?
Yeah. Okay, but yeah. I know it's like, I find giving and getting head to be more intimate for the getter than like penetrative sex. Or like genital to genital sex, because then your faces are up here and your genitals are down there. Totally. But like when someone else's face is there, it's like, okay, that's intimate.
It's intimate as fuck. Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I've been with my girlfriend for over 1.5 years and she still doesn't believe that I genuinely enjoy eating her out, and I feel the same sometimes. I'm like, you can't possibly like this.
Totally.
And that's what I was gonna get at, because I like going down on somebody. I wouldn't say I'm not like, it's not like the greatest thing in the world, but it's like satisfying and fun. And,
you have a mission.
right. It's like cool, but I always assume, like you're saying,
yeah,
that the other person hates it.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like almost everybody.
But like, do you feel like you would enjoy it if you felt like there was like no goal, or like that it was like there wasn't going to be any like elevation at the end where it's like, yay, payoff, that was worth it, versus like you'd do it for 20 minutes and then you're both like, all right, well.
Yes, and I think it's really helped me and my girlfriend to just like kind of take that off the table, be like, the goal is not, and this doesn't happen like during the sex, but we've talked about sex enough times to figure out that like, oh yeah, neither of us is really needs to orgasm each time, like let's dismantle that sort of heteronormative definition of sex,
it's like fun the whole way,
and then it's become just like way more casual, and it takes a lot of pressure off for both of us, makes it more fun.
Totally.
Because then you're not thinking about the orgasm. Like, the orgasm gives so much anxiety to, to both parties.
Do you remember, like, a breakthrough conversation around that? Or was it over time?
It definitely happened. I mean, my thinking was, I was nudged this way by being in therapy with a therapist who happens to also do sex therapy. But I didn't. Like, she's just my normal run-of-the-mill. But it was kind of, like, broke my brain to think that. And I'm like, I haven't dated a man in so long. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, this doesn't have to end when a man comes. I don't know. It was crazy to think. And it's hard to definitely, like, internalize that, because it still sucks when you're, like, when you're trying really hard to make someone come and it doesn't happen.
How would you guys navigate a situation where the goal is for sex not to end when the guy comes?
But it's so much harder in like, hetero relationships.
Right. It's like, I guess it's then the options are like you start being eaten out, or like you keep, I mean, we keep having sex. But like, I feel like I feel like that's a difficult thing to do if you're having straight sex.
Mm-hmm.
To be like the goal, like the end point is not you coming. And like, you know, we can end before that, or we can end after that, or like there's other metrics. But it's like, I feel like it's like physically difficult to get around that. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. No, it definitely is. Especially if, you know,
logistically,
your partner can come easily, like then, or like can come. Right. Maybe like.
Well, and I do think, like, I know in all aspects of my life, I have a kind of proclivity to do this, of to tell 3/4 of a truth to avoid telling 4/4 of a truth.
Right.
Where I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter if I come or not. But like, you're kind of just giving lip service to that idea, and you actually do care if you come or not. That's not actually how I feel about, well, at least consciously, it's not how I feel about sex. But like, there's all kinds of things like that. Mm-hmm. I do think it probably, it's so hard to conceive of unless you can genuinely get to a place where you're like, yeah, I actually don't care. Like, it's actually so much more about the journey or whatever.
Totally, totally, totally.
Because it's like, you can be like, take it slow, but like, it would be great if we came, you know? And that's human. I mean, that's natural, I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I guess, if you like do a lot of foreplay at the beginning, and then like before penetrative sex, maybe you do like hand stuff. But also, maybe it's like a world in which, if you're in pain or not enjoying it, you feel comfortable enough to tell your partner, like, hey, can we stop?
Right.
And that's, like, just fine.
That's, like, another, that's would be described as sex doesn't have to end when the guy comes.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no such thing as an orgasm, how do you think your like, sex would change?
Good question.
That's so interesting. I mean, I don't think mine would change much.
That's cool.
But it's two women.
Mine would change dramatically, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there would be less pressure all around.
It's definitely an interesting question. Cancel orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that should be our new rule in the bedroom. Nobody comes.
I mean, that could be a fun experiment. You could also do like dip your toe into edging, which could be fun.
Oh my God, yeah.
Y'all ever edged?
No.
Not on purpose.
I wish I could edge like myself, but like I can't even get there, you know?
Yeah, like if I'm gonna do it, it's gonna fucking happen. Yeah,
Well, that is funny. It's like bifurcated of like the idea of people privately amongst themselves have really, really like efficient orgasms, and then when they bump uglies with other people, you don't orgasm.
Right, right. Yeah.
Or at least that's not everybody, but like,
yeah, it's like,
yeah, I think that's true for a lot of women.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a whole different activity. It's like the two are so unrelated in my head,
because sex is a social thing, which is why we have so much fucking anxiety about
it.
Fuck, dude. All right. What's the next question?
The next
one. Also, wait. What was that question so I can record our answers?
It was worried about taking too long to become aroused or to orgasm.
Oh, yeah. We all said
that's
four.
A quattro, quattro, quattro.
Yeah. That's a big one. Okay. This last one is like, we've pretty much covered it, but it's sometimes I feel so shy or self-conscious during sex that I cannot become fully aroused.
One.
I think maybe like two. It's less so lately, but like definitely when I was, you know, in my first forays, sexual forays. Like,
yeah.
But then it was like, I would just do it anyway. Like, right. It's not like I would ever vocalize.
Yeah.
Which is so fucked up.
I think I'm higher. I'm a three.
Okay.
And shy, I initially reacted to shy like that's not the word because I don't think of myself as a shy person. But as I thought about it more, it's like, yeah, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like if you're in your head, I guess. Yeah.
I feel like that makes more sense outside of relationships too. That like,
yes,
you're more self-conscious around a new person. So totally. It would interfere more. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that like the standard for like adult sex, at least, I don't know, from what I understand from movies and stuff, is that you have the lights off when you have sex. Because for me, I can't have sex with the lights off. Because of PTSD, I get triggered when I have sex in the dark. Yeah. So I only have sex with like really bright lighting.
Yeah, like football stadium, Friday night lights. Yeah, vibes.
Some people have sexy lights where it's like one light in the corner. For me, it's like kind of, it's like track lights, but around the bed.
Lights don't bother me much, but I'm a freak about curtains. Like, I like have to be people. Closed.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
That's definitely a shyness though.
Right.
My curtain, I don't have an opinion on either.
You don't even have a curtain.
I don't have a curtain.
But you face a wall.
Right. But there are people who can sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
See in? Oh, interesting.
Hmm. Wow.
But it doesn't turn me on to my knowledge. I'm like, that's something I would just be unconscientious of.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, I don't mind when people see. Okay, what are our scores?
Okay.
It's out of 20.
Okay. What are the degrees?
Let's see. There's like a thing at the bottom. There's like a little paragraph about it. Low, medium, high. Low is 0 to 6. Medium is 7 to 13. High is 14 to 20.
Interesting. Okay. Doyle and I are both on the upper bound of medium.
Okay.
We're coming in at 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cobb, you're at the lower bound. Well, you're kind of middle high. You're at 16.
Sensitive girl. Okay, I'll
wait. What is that? What does high start at?
14.
Oh, word.
So low. Yeah, like
when I took this the first time, I gave myself all fours on this category, but now with more thought and conversation, it's interesting that I've.
So for medium, it says you're right in the middle, along with more than half the women I've asked. Okay, bell curve.
Okay.
This means that. So whether or not your sexual breaks engaged will be largely dependent on context. Risky or novel situations, such as a new partner, might increase your concerns. Contexts that easily arouse you are likely to be low risk and more familiar. And anytime your stress levels escalate, your breaks will reduce your interest in and response to sexual signals.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like average, I think, yeah. Which is good.
I wonder if I'm high, if the spectrum is I wonder where guys average test.
Yeah, because it is women. So mine for high is you're pretty sensitive to all the reasons not to be aroused. You need a setting of trust and relaxation, and it's best if you don't feel rushed or pressured in any way. You may be easily distracted. And
that sounds like me.
Okay, I'm high SIS, regardless of if you have high excitement. Good news for me, it's the most strongly correlated factor with sexual problems.
Yeah. Aww. But it's nice to understand.
So if this is interesting, pay close attention to the sexy context worksheet in the chapters. Okay, about a quarter of the women she talked to fell in this range.
Interesting. So then I'm going to assume a quarter. Oh, no, she said more than half of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening, just know I empirically... I am not like other guys.
I am like other girls, unfortunately. Kind of a disappointing thing to walk away with. Okay, should we do the excitement one?
Yeah, let's see what these questions are like. Okay. Often just how someone smells can be a turn on.
Four.
Three.
Yeah, three. What is the scent, can I ask? That most cinnamon? Axe body spray.
I'd really like the smell of my boyfriend's skin. And like and like his mouth. Like we just really so like each romantic. Other's smells.
Wait, yes. I will just sniff Catherine's mouth.
Yeah. That means they're genetically compatible.
Mm. Have you gotten to that chapter yet?
No, that's something I learned in like high school. Is that
I also faintly remember.
Yeah, that's why you kiss, is so you can taste the other person's gene. That's what pheromones are. And the pheromones are pheromones. In your mouth, too.
Okay, what I'm going to say is going to sound fucked up about smelling. Mm-hmm. It's going to sound maybe even like I'm a pedophile. I know. Okay. Cop just really shot me a look. Yeah. I'm not a pedophile. The smell of baby powder.
Oh,
but it has nothing to do with babies. It's literally
that
just
ladies start wearing baby powder on
her. My ex-girlfriend, her deodorant and baby powder, and for whatever reason that like locked in a smell association.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, quick tangent, that's something else she was talking about, is that nobody is born with innate sexual turn-ons, and what ends up like being a turn-on is what you, the first few times you're aroused, or like as you're aroused of your life, it's what you experience not along with that arousal. So like if every time you got hard you smelled lemons, like lemons would make you really exactly. And so like what you're into, it's just like the birthday cake conversation we had. I guess the first time that guy was hard, he got his face shoved in your birthday cake, and you know. Wow. So
and you might be thinking, okay, connect the dots, why was Harry the first time hard around baby powder? And
he was the world's youngest baby to have a boner.
Yeah, I'm just fucking around.
Yeah.
I'm not a pedophile.
Maybe you jerked off with baby powder when you were a kid.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, right.
That could be it. Okay, what's the next question?
Okay, seeing a partner doing...
But if you're listening, that's what I want.
Seeing a partner doing something that shows his or her talent or intelligence, or watching them interacting well with others, can make me very sexually aroused. Four.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's something, and we've been talking about this, that quarantine has kind of deprived us of.
Totally.
It's like you're just kind of at home alone all day together with them. And then when we have occasional picnics in the park, it's like, that's my wife.
Totally.
That's
yeah,
my
exactly.
fucking wife.
Yeah. I'm so proud of him whenever I watch him talk to other people. I'm like,
you know? Which is like, yeah, normally you do get to see, and you do also yourself get to participate in the world.
Yeah.
In the social
yeah,
world.
Totally.
So I have definitely experienced the like, adoration and love for a partner when I say, you know, checking all those boxes. I'm not sure if I get horny though. Would you say you guys get horny?
Yes.
Like you're like, I want to have sex with him right now.
Yes. That. And mm-hmm. I think it's like, I think it might be biologically more of a female thing, because it's like you like seeing your hubby take care of kids, like be a caretaker.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like the way that like, you know, peacocks are or whatever, it's like I'm the best peacock. And so when you see your boyfriend being the best or girlfriend being the best peacock, you're like, oh, I got the best one,
right?
And that makes me horny, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to mate with the best one and make the best ones of us.
Yeah, you get to feel like proud and
yeah.
So I'm gonna go two.
Okay, then, cool,
because I don't think I get like carnally horny.
Yeah, totally. I get that.
Okay, next one. Having sex in a different setting than usual is a real turn on for me.
Four.
I'm thinking like, yeah, like outdoors, other people's house, like anything that's not your private bedroom.
Probably. Yeah, like, or when you go on a trip.
Maybe two for me.
Two.
Nice.
But it's not, I've never, oh. Two.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got FaceTimed.
Okay, when I think about someone I find sexually attractive or fantasize about sex, I become easily aroused. So this is just like, do you need porn to get hard, or can you play the porn in your head?
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you guys ever masturbated to nothing?
Yeah.
Same.
All the time, mostly. Except because I'm not like, it's just like it'll come up and I'll be like, well, I guess I'm horny.
Yeah. It's the spur of the moment. You gotta capitalize.
Yeah, exactly. Usually when I'm relaxed. Harry, did you have a number for this?
No.
I guess like three.
Okay. Oh yeah, I didn't give a number either.
A lot like me. That's what three. Maybe two.
I think I'm a one. I can't like just think about a person. I could think about like an experience.
Picture a hot man.
Yeah.
This fluctuates for me based on if I am like hooking up with or dating somebody that I'm really into. If I am hooking up with or dating somebody I'm really into, I'll like get horny way more frequently.
Right. Just because you're thinking about that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe totally. I'll say two.
Yeah. The first couple months of the relationship when everything's new and exciting.
Yeah.
So what's your number?
I'm a two. What were you called?
I guess I'm going to switch mine to two.
Okay.
I'm going to go two as well.
Nice.
Okay. This is the last one. I get very turned on when someone wants me sexually. It totally depends on who the person is. Like, I feel like when someone I perceive, someone whom I'm not attracted to wants me sexually, it repulses me.
Yeah. Oh my God, that happened to me today.
But if it's someone I'm also into, it's like, hell yeah. So I'll say two.
I will say one. I don't really care whether someone's into
like when if someone whispers in your ear, I want you.
Like, if they were whispering in someone else's ear that they wanted them, that would make me into them. For me, I think I like it when people play hard to get.
You like, yeah, the hard to get train.
Yeah, I like, yeah, yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm. Four. Interesting.
That, you were joking, I can't imagine something sexier than a woman whispering at me being like,
Harry States, take note.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you really, if you're a Harry Stan, take notes during this ep specifically.
Okay.
I can see that affecting a man more than a woman.
Yeah.
A het man versus a het woman.
I walked into the Vintage Twin today on Broadway just to kind of peruse, and I was like staring at the guy who was working the door because I was waiting for him to be like, because every other store I'd been into, they'd been like, use sanitizer, stay 6 feet away, this is the place you can touch, whatever. And he was like, hey, you know, welcome in, and then said like maybe one thing, and then I kept looking, and I was like, oh, is that it? And he was like, I don't know, do you want there to be more? And I was like, well, is there anything I have to know to be here? And he was like, have you never been here before? I was like, I mean, like COVID, like, and he was like, well, there's hand sanitizer over there. Do you want me to show you around? I was like, no. And then on my way out, he was like, do you live around here?
Oh my God.
No. Get your bleached hair away from me.
Nothing worse than unwanted attention.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
From someone you are not into.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Anyway.
That's funny. If I, even if there is a woman who I, even if I don't initially want the attention, if I hear that they're into me, something about that is like erotic to me.
Yeah. It's like, well, I can, well, yeah, let me take another look.
Well, you know, I do think it is perhaps like women are socialized to like show their arousal less, like show their that they're into somebody less. And so I do think that can trickle down if you're
totally
perhaps sensitive to that. You're kind of like, I'm always like second guessing myself about like, fuck, totally, is this person like into me? Not like, I'm pretty confident if somebody's like into me on like a more emotional level or like a intellectual level, like I feel pretty confident about that. But like on a more like sexual or physical level, I am always like, well, fuck, like what's the, like, are they,
yeah,
are they performing, or are they, you know, like, is there, there's more insecurity there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Like, especially because women seem to do well.
Totally. Yeah. And because men are like, you know, quote, supposed to make the first move, that it's like, I've never understood how you could do that with getting like nothing in return in theory, you know, it's like, that doesn't, it's kind of a lose-lose in my opinion. Mm. Anyway, what are our numbers?
Okay. What's the, is it the same? Same.
Yeah, I think
well,
so.
Well, it's out of 24.
Oh, shit. Maybe I skipped one.
Did we skip a question?
We might have. Oh, yeah, we did. We skipped. Oh, okay. Here was, certain hormonal changes definitely increase my sexual arousal. What does that mean? Like if you're on your period or something?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I guess, a three for me.
Kind of, yeah, not a
really. Or like when I switch birth controls.
Maybe like a two. I guess that's kind of a specific to women.
Yeah.
I'll give myself a two.
Perfect. Right in the middle?
Average.
Okay, what's it out of then?
It's the same. So low is 0 to 7, medium is 8 to 15, high 16 to 24.
Mm, interesting.
Okay. Doyle,
mm-hmm.
19.
Nice.
Hi.
Hi.
Cobb, 14.
Medium.
Me, 15.
Nice. Medium.
Cool. We're all pretty similar. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't expect any of us to be like super not into sex because then we wouldn't be talking about it. And also I wouldn't expect any of us to be super easily able to have sex because then we also wouldn't be talking about it.
Right.
So I think it makes sense.
Oh, interesting. So the medium range is 70% of women that this researcher has talked to fall into.
So I'm ultimately not like other girls.
Right. Yeah. So, psych. Yeah. So you're 16%.
Sweet. Good stuff. That explains why I was a slut in college.
Yay. Oh my god. <It's> so funny. I would be curious to hear the breakdown for guys. Because I kind of feel like my numbers would be.
Yeah, the questions would be a little different.
I wonder. But listen, I love being with the girlies.
Yeah, I wonder if a book like that even exists for men.
Couldn't think of a joke fast enough. I was gonna be like, yeah, it's called the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah,
it's called Joe Rogan.
I was trying to
Joe Rogan Experience.
I was trying to think of what the image on the cover of the male book would be, like a banana with two apples.
Harambe. Definitely.
Just. Well, I'm not sure this actually helped me determine anything because we're pretty average.
Well, it helped me when I thought my brakes were sensitive, but now I feel confused. But that's okay. I'll read on and then.
Well, it sounds like you have high, you're easy to excite, but there are a lot of factors that will temper that.
Yeah. And it does make sense that like the brakes are on heavy right now because of all the sex problems I've been having.
Right. Yeah, the physical stuff.
That's
along
just like
with
sitting on the brake, kind of.
You know, it's hard to be horny when like California is aflame and
for sure.
Whole West Coast can't breathe.
Yeah. So there's plenty of things that are a little distracting from
yourself,
sex.
Kid.
I know, but it could be so fun.
I know. But it's also like 6 months now. Like everyone that was having sex for fun because they were bored is tired.
Yeah. Everyone who's doing anything for fun is tired.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling myself.
I also think, this orgasm question is a big one because if you remove that, I wonder if that removes a certain amount of pressure around it. You know, because if you leave every sexual encounter feeling like you failed, that's going to disincentivize.
Totally.
Like you're going to be like, well, this is like every time, it's like me failing a test every time it's like why would you ever want to do that?
Like what if the goal was instead to like communicate and just enjoy yourself?
Right.
That's interesting. Okay, I'll try that.
Go. What about?
We're gonna start a goddamn revolution.
Yeah.
What about this?
Okay.
For an idea.
Yeah.
And I think this is an OK Stupid kind of original.
The OK Stupid challenge. Don't come.
What about No Nut November?
But it's not No Sex November.
Yeah. But also, I'm joking because everybody on the internet does No Nut November.
I'm gonna be
but
doing
what if
no
we
nut,
do a
no
real
nut
No Nut November?
I mean, I've had a No Nut September, a No Nut August.
If a nut came in November, far be it from Caroline.
Caroline's like, how about a Nut November?
Yeah. Yeah. Bust maybe a nut. Nut every day November. if we can figure this out in time.
Yeah. Hey, God you bless. Pick your poison. You either have to nut every day or not nut at all.
Yeah, so we'll see how November 1st goes.
I don't think my life would change much.
Okay, well.
Word. Well, if you feel free to listen along and take the quiz as well. Send us your scores.
Oh, yeah.
I'll map a goddamn bell curve.
Oh, yeah. We can see how, stupid listeners compare to the rest.
My theory? Hornier.
Hornier.
Yeah.
I would say
we're
so.
Gonna cook the numbers either way. We have to be the horniest podcast in Brooklyn.
We gotta post them. We gotta post it.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
All right. Well,
tune in next week.
Woo.